It's Thursday, the 9th of July. I've had the feeds open since before light, and I'll tell you up front. This is a shipping day, not a reading day. There's barely a paper near the top of the pile this morning. It's the labs themselves, moving. And what struck me is that the day pulls in two directions at the same time. Four stories. Let me get into them. First up, SpaceX AI released Grok 4.5. And the framing to hold on to is not that it's the smartest thing anyone has ever built, but that it is aggressively cheap for what it does. Elon Musk called it an Opus-class model, meaning it's aiming at the tier that Anthropic's Opus 4.8 sits in. But the whole pitch is efficiency. Grok 4.5 costs $2 per million input tokens and $6 per million output tokens. Opus 4.8, for comparison, is $5.25. So it undercuts the reference model by about 3 times on the way in and more than 4 times on the way out. This is the first model SpaceX AI has shipped since it went public and absorbed the coding startup Cursor. And that matters, because it was trained alongside Cursor and it's pitched as a coding and agents tool, not a chatbot. The number that made me sit up is on token economy. On a hard, real-world software engineering benchmark, the company reports that Grok 4.5 needs about 15,900 output tokens to finish a task, roughly 4 times fewer than Opus 4.8 needs for the same work. And that compounds. In agentic coding, your cost is dominated by output tokens spun across dozens of tool calling turns, so cutting the tokens per task by 4 and cutting the price per token at the same time means the real-world bill drops by much more than the sticker price alone suggests. It's live today, inside Grok Build, inside Cursor on every plan, and through the company's own console, though not yet in the European Union. And the timing was not an accident. It landed the day before OpenAI's next family went broad, which is the kind of scheduling you only do when you want to own the news for a full day. The honest caveat, the benchmark those token numbers come from, is itself under a cloud right now. There's fresh work questioning how reliable it is, and nobody outside SpaceX AI has reproduced the efficiency figures yet. So take the exact multiple as the company's claim and watch for independent numbers. But the direction is real. The Cursor acquisition bought a stream of genuine engineering data and a place to be the default. And this is the first thing to come out of that. Second, and on the very next day, OpenAI took its GPT 5.6 family to general availability. This is the one that has been sitting behind a government-coordinated preview since late June, and as of today, it opens up to everyone. Across the programming interface, the Codex coding tool, and ChatGPT. The Commerce Department signed off after extra testing, and the phased preview, where access was limited to a small set of partners disclosed to the government, is what's ending now. There are 3 models, and the naming finally makes sense. The number is the generation, and the name is the tier. Sol is the flagship for hard reasoning, coding, science, and long agentic jobs. Terra is the everyday model. OpenAI says it matches the previous generation, GPT 5.5, at half the cost. And Luna is the small, cheap one. Pricing runs from $5.30 for Sol, down through $2.50 and $15 for Terra, to $1.06 for Luna per million tokens. 2 new controls ship with it. There's a max reasoning setting that gives Sol the longest possible time to think, and a new ultra mode that goes past a single agent by spawning sub-agents to work in parallel on hard problems. On capability, OpenAI reports Sol setting a new best on a command line coding benchmark that stresses planning and tool use, and beating the previous generation on long horizon genomics work while using fewer tokens. But the spine of this release is cybersecurity paired with safeguards. On an exploit benchmark, Sol matches a much larger reference system while using about 1/3 of the output tokens. OpenAI is careful to say Sol does not cross the critical threshold in its own preparedness framework. In tests against Chromium and Firefox, it found bugs and the building blocks of exploits, but did not, on its own, chain them into a working full attack. Around that, they describe their most layered safeguard stack yet: refusals trained into the model, real-time classifiers that can pause a generation so a bigger model reviews it, and account-level review. And they put real compute behind hardening it. More than 700,000 GPU hours of automated red teaming aimed at universal jailbreaks. One more note. They're bringing Sol to Cerebras hardware at up to 750 tokens per second this month. An independent safety evaluator did flag some risk during the preview, and that caution rides along into today's broad launch. Third, still OpenAI, but a different kind of release. A pair of voice models called AGPT Live 1 and a smaller mini version. The one idea that makes these work is full duplex audio. The model can speak and listen at the same time, instead of waiting politely for you to finish before it starts thinking. That sounds small. It isn't. Simultaneous speaking and listening is what lets you interrupt it naturally, what lets it do live translation, and what lets it throw in a quick mm-hmm, or hold a beat of silence when you're mid-thought. The older voice modes couldn't do any of that, because they were built to take strict turns. The clever part underneath is a division of labor. The live model handles the fast, real-time surface of the conversation, and when you ask something that actually needs web search or deeper reasoning, it hands that off to a stronger model, the GPT 5.5 generation, behind the scenes, and folds the answer back into the conversation when it's ready. That fixes the two things that always broke always-on voice assistants at once: talking over you and not being smart enough to answer. The trick is that the heavy thinking is offloaded, so the low latency path stays quick. On the product side, this isn't a lab demo. It's replacing the advanced voice mode inside ChatGPT. The smaller mini model becomes the default for everyone. The full GPT Live one goes to paid tiers. The team says the target isn't a 10-second question. It's a 30 to 40-minute conversation on a walk, which is a genuinely different shape of interaction. Early users did flag that it comes across as a little too eager, a little over-enthusiastic, a tuning wrinkle that only surfaces once people are talking to it for half an hour at a stretch rather than poking at it in a demo. Why this sits so high for me, full duplex plus reasoning delegation, is quietly becoming the standard blueprint for production voice agents, and shipping it as the ChatGPT default drops it in front of an enormous audience overnight. Live translation and long, continuous conversation are the two capabilities most likely to spill over into serious agent use, and both of them fall straight out of that one decision, to let the thing speak and listen at once. And for our fourth and final story this morning, a swerve, away from the frontier labs and toward the people trying to route around them. A startup called Prime Intellect raised $130 million at a valuation of $1 billion. To let companies train their own agents on decentralized compute. The round was led by Radical Ventures, and the backer list is the tell. NVIDIA's venture arm, Intel Capital, and Dell's capital arm all put money in, alongside a long list of founder angels. Bosum, here's what they actually sell, and why it's interesting. It's not one model. It's a whole stack for training agents without renting a frontier lab's brain. There's compute, delivered through a peer-to-peer marketplace of pooled graphics cards, or, rather than one centralized cluster, there's a reinforcement learning framework for the post-training step, and there are evaluation tools. They call the whole thing an open superintelligence stack, and the architecture reads like a decentralized infrastructure network wearing an enterprise suit. Distributed reinforcement learning spread across a market of borrowed hardware. The proof point they lean on is a customer result. The finance company Ramp used this to build an agent that answers questions buried inside spreadsheets, and they report that the purpose-trained agent beat the big frontier models on accuracy while running faster and at a fraction of the cost. That's the whole thesis in one example. For a narrow, well-defined task, a smaller model you trained yourself on cheap distributed compute can beat a general giant on the numbers that matter to you. And that is exactly why I put it in the same morning as Grok and GPT 5.6. Those releases are the frontier concentrating capability behind an interface you rent. This is $130 million flowing into the machinery whose entire purpose is to make sure you don't have to. The fact that NVIDIA, Intel, and Dell are funding it tells you the hardware makers want that decentralized path to exist. The open question, and it's the same one it has always been, is whether a marketplace of scattered graphics cards can deliver the reliability and the fast interconnect that big, distributed training runs actually need. That's the bottleneck. But the money is betting it can be solved. So what was this morning really about? Two directions, pulling at the same time. On one side, the frontier shipped hard and shipped fast, a cheap, token thrifty coding model from SpaceX AI, a whole new family going broad from OpenAI, and a voice model that finally listens while it talks. Capability concentrating, behind interfaces you rent by the token, and on the very same day, real money moved the other way, into the tools that let everyone else train their own way out from under those labs. The frontier pulling up, and the ground organizing to catch up. The full digest has the rest. The defense moves, the reckoning over that coding benchmark, the world model papers. If you want to go further, I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, be well, and go read the source on whichever of these four is yours.